Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jeanette Abney, and I want to again welcome you to another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. Today, I want to talk about being smart in school can be cool. Now, today's topic is very interesting, as I know that many of you have either college students or maybe kids that are in elementary school or middle school that are pretty much out of school this week for the holidays. And it's going to be interesting because this is basically the end of the first semester, and we'll be starting the beginning of the next semester or the second semester. And one of the things that we're finding is when it comes to education, this is one of those taboo subjects as it relates to school. So I'm going to join one of our guests that's already here. Let me see. Okay. Hi, this is Jeanette. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well, and thank you for joining me. And I'm waiting on our other caller to join in. Give me 1 second. I think he's here. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Greetings. How are you?
I am well. Okay, so we're going to get started. So like I said, the topic today is being smart in school can be cool. As we all know, knowledge is power and wisdom can lead to greatness. Today, as we attempt to teach our children and young adults about the importance of education, it seems like we're wasting our time. Now, some continue to listen to us and wonder, what is going to be my reward? While many struggle with being shy and are somewhat bored as it relates to school. And as many attempt to make good grades, they're often called names as they struggle with self-esteem, relationship issues, and things of that nature. So today, we are basically going to be talking about and encouraging kids to basically strive towards excellence when it comes to their education. Now, excellence basically means greatness and doing your very best. And achieving excellence is never easy to do. However, it's a quality that people really appreciate. And it's also very difficult to find. So I'm joining you here with one of my special guest neighbors, Malik E. Trey, which I'm used to calling you Earl. So Earl, please forgive me if I call you by your old government name, because that's all I really know, because Malik kind of throws me off. So I want other people to join us too. So again, with excellence as other in others, you know, we want people to know that it's still cool to be in school. And I also have a student who's also an athlete online. So one of the things, Malik, I want to start off by saying, you came to me with something that you basically have and something that you're trying to do. And I wanted you to share this on the air because I want to make sure that I'm able to help get your what you're trying to do out there, your project out there. Because one of the things that we're finding is a lot of gifted students are what you call dummying down in order to fit in. And it's not as popular now to be smart as it is to be an athlete or, you know, someone that's pretty and modeling and acting and things of that nature. And one of the things we want to that we're noticing is that the number is beginning to become more disturbing as gifted students dumb themselves down just to either fit in. Because one of the reasons we find is they don't want to be bullied. They don't want to be called names. And you and I know, I don't know if you remember, do you remember when we used to play school when you guys were kids? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes,
Malik?
Yes.
And one of the things, I don't know if you remember that because we didn't even get a chance to talk about that. And I was trying to get Sean to call in too because she has a school now because we used to do that so much during a Christmas break or, you know, the holidays, especially in the summertime. We would get all the kids in the neighborhood. I got to be the teacher. Melody Polidor would be the principal. And you guys would go from my house to either the Polidor's house in our patio. And we always was trying to teach one another, educate one another, because our parents was kind of like pushing education down our throats, but we didn't know what the reward was going to be. So I want you to share, Malik, what it is you have to say. And like I said, please forgive me if I every now and then say Earl. So help me out with that, okay? So
okay.
Tell them who you are and what you do.
Well, just for the record, you know, my full name is Eugene Malik Adams III, and I've been working in education for the past 20 years at 7 colleges and 10 different positions, mostly at the community colleges. So using that experience, I said to myself, what is missing from society? And that would be a brand that is similar to ESPN and Nike, because those two brands celebrate athletic excellence. So I wanted my brand to celebrate academic excellence. Instead of who is the MVP of sports, who is the most valuable major of engineering, who is the MVM of social work, because I see that missing from society. So my goal is to take those two successful templates, Nike, Adidas, ESPN, and say, you know what? What if you focused on the best students, the best teachers, the best professionals, and you can see them on my website, which is www.V as in Mary, V as in Victor, M as in Mary Nation. So that's www.vmvmnation.com.
Okay. And for callers that want to call in and want more information in regards to what he's doing in regards to branding and basically acknowledging kids that are doing well in school and the teachers, because, you know, Malik, there are a lot of good teachers out there, a lot of good principals out there too. And I want to give a shout out, even though he's passed, and that was Mr. Freeman. And many of us that live in the Compton area, we attended Willowbrook Middle School, and we were the Go Pioneers. But one of the things that Mr. Freeman tried to teach us was to, he strived towards excellence. He strived towards greatness. He made us read. We had basically different programs such as Superstars. They would, you know, we would reward us with either going to the movies, dances, and he tried to cultivate us to let us know that even though we grew up in Compton, that we could still compete with other students all over the world and all over the state of California. Our test scores was low. Our books were stamped obsolete. And we had a lot of challenges academically. So we were basically behind the ball. But what he did, and I don't know if you attended before his passing, Tiki gave him a celebration. And it was great. It was really great. It was in Carson. And I didn't know that a lot of the teachers that he hired were brand new teachers. And I used to wonder why he bullied them and why he was so strict. He was strict because he cared. He was strict
because he
loved us. But by that same token, he gave a lot of teachers jobs that was their first time ever teaching in school. And they did an awesome job preparing us, but although they prepared us, some of us made it, some of us didn't, because we had other, you know, agendas and things going on in our home, and he did try to tackle some of the other social issues that we were going through, because when you talk about academics, a lot of times when we start praising kids, we're now looking at kids that grew up in poverty or, you know, the mother was on drugs and things of that nature. And that's not always the case. So we need to get past that when we are honoring kids that are doing well. You know, because some kids can't come from middle-class homes, upper, you know, middle-class homes, or rich kids too. But we do need to focus more on education. So before I even bring the student on board, because we're going to be going and we're going to be talking and we're going to be going back and forth and back and forth, and so if there's anyone who has students, like I said, even if they were in a special ed program or they have a teacher that they want to give a shout out to or a principal or someone who made a difference in their life that basically rewarded them or encouraged them, I want you to call in so we can talk about that. But before we even do that, Malik, I had looked at my Facebook. They have a thing which is called MOBS, which is Moms of Black Sons. And I saw a young lady, and I sent her a message, so I haven't heard from her. But what she did was she acknowledged an eighth grader by the name of Corey Terrell. And he was actually the 2016, in the state of Texas, Spelling Bee champion. And one of the things she said was, show homie some love. these things go unnoticed. And that is
so true.
And it just was, it kind of fit in with the show. So I really hope that she call in, because I did give her my number to give us a call. Because, I mean, she took the time, because what I wanted to know is if she knew the person or the young guy personally, because I wanted him to call in too. Because when you're talking about a spelling bee and a spelling bee champion for the state of Texas, Texas is a pretty big state. And he was an African-American kid who won the spelling bee championship. And I know we make movies and we, you know, have little movies that we got going on. We got the other movie that's going to be coming out about the women that are engineers and things of that nature.
Right, Hidden Figures.
And Hidden Figures, because I cannot remember the name, but Hidden Figures is another one. You know, because sometimes we put it where girls are supposed to be smarter than boys and, you know, things of that nature. I remember when I was in high school, and no, it was even middle school, and the guy that I had, Byron, basically told me one time, I was trying to get on him about his grades. And he brought to my attention, and I said, you know, I was a straight-A student, because I remember one time my mother gave me a whooping because I was in middle school, and I brought home 3 A's and 3 B's. She told me a B was not good enough. I was supposed to make straight A's. I didn't understand why she wanted me to be a straight-A student. So what I did was I tried to get him to make straight A's too. He told me, I am getting the same amount of credits for my D that you got for your A. And I had to think about that. So why am I trying to make an A if I'm going to get 5 credits for an A, just like he's going to get 5 credits for a D? But I later learned that it's basically your GPA score is higher. There's different things that we don't understand. So I want to bring the student on board. Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am well. So tell us from a student's perspective, what is it that you see in school in regards to, you know, kids that are basically academically smart, or, you know, the kids that are in the GATE programs and an athlete, because you are an athlete and you are also very articulate?
Well, a lot of my friends are very smart, 4.8 to 4.4 GPAs. And a lot of them are athletes, too, so I definitely feel like just because you're an athlete doesn't mean you can't work hard in school, too. So I think that being an athlete gives you definitely a different perspective on how school works, though, because while you're at practice, somebody that doesn't have practice because they're not an athlete could be studying. So it's definitely harder to balance, but I feel like sports definitely gives you a more complete way to look at school.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I saw, and see, because you know I'm much older than you, when we were in school, they had just started the 2.0, where you had to have at least a 2.0 in order to be able to play sports. And prior to that, you know, we had a lot of people. I remember I graduated from Banning High School because I was going to Centennial first, and I had to leave the Compton area because I felt like I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a judge. This is not working for me. So I got to the point where I wanted to leave the Compton Unified School District, so I transitioned over to Banning High School. But I remember we used to compete against Carson High School, and there was a football player, and he was an awesome athlete, but he was not the brightest kid in the bunch. And that was around the time that they started making sure that students had at least above a, at least a 2.0 GPA, which is a C, for those of you that may not know. And this kid couldn't even do that. So we found that a lot of kids was basically striving towards their athletic ability, but was not trying to focus on school. And even though sometimes the teachers would help them out, because that was a problem too, teachers would sometimes pad grades, or the coaches would, you know, say things to the teachers so that the kid could perform athletically, but it actually hurt the student. Now we have another caller on the line. Let me join this person. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments here at Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Fine. This is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you. I'm glad you called in. And share what it is you want us to know as it relates to this topic.
Well, I think that our kids are doing a disservice to themselves. Some of them lack confidence in their abilities to perform. Mm-hmm. But what I found dealing with my own grandchildren is that a lot of times the kids dumb down. They have the ability to do, but they don't perform because they want to fit into the group. They don't mm-hmm. want to stand out in the classroom as one who knows because they're made fun of, they're ridiculed. Various things. I remember when my kids were in high school, they actually had to fight because they had their homework, which was a requirement in my house mm-hmm. to do your homework before you do anything else. So, and some of the, what I see in dealing with a lot of the younger parents also is that they don't really have time to follow up with the kids, to really stay on top of them to see what they're doing. They're so busy trying to work, to provide, to pay the bills and do mm-hmm. that sometimes the kids are lost in the loop. And for the younger parents, they really don't know how to parent.
Correct.
They are busy trying to get their own thing done, their own groove on. And the kids are just kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
This generation, but if you look at their gaming skills, if you look at their texting skills, if you mm-hmm. look at what they do, you know the intelligence level is there. They
Definitely.
Aren't being pushed and primed to perform. It's a level of mediocrity, which when we were growing up and when I was raising my kids, it was not acceptable for us
mm-hmm.
because we instilled in our children that you had to be on top of your game to succeed. But because now there is such an inclusion that kids don't really, they just kind of melt in and it's just one big thing. But in the real world, when they go to get a job, or when they go to college and try to get a job, they are only going to look at the upper 1% or the upper 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have people who went to school, but they can't get a job above an entry-level position because the striving to perform at excellence is not there. We don't push excellence in our kids. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect and everything and you don't make mistakes and it's so staunch mm-hmm. and stiff, but excellent to the point that you do the best of your ability and try to go and get that extra mile in. It's just like a runner. If you're running a marathon and you see the line, you get that second win. And mm-hmm. even though you're tired, even though you think you're lagging behind, but you're going to get that second win to finish the race. And these are skills and ethics that our young people are not acquiring. They go to job interviews with unironed T-shirts, pants sagging off mm-hmm. their butts. And then,
one of the things I wanted to say, not to interrupt you, but you know what? That is true because they don't know any better. And every generation is getting different. It's different because even me, when I interview individuals, sometimes they may come in with jeans or, you know, and when I, in order to do what I do, because I'm a licensed therapist, I have a master's degree. And in the field of even counseling individuals that have drug and alcohol issues, at one point they were just taking counselors off the street and was allowing them to work with individuals because they had a passion to work with individuals to get them clean and sober, but was lacking the education component. And what happened was when in 2005, when they changed how they were doing things, people were upset. They was offended because they were so intimidated by school. They didn't want to go back to get the certification or the degrees that are necessary to do this type of work. But I'm glad that I did, even though one of the things is, and I'm glad that you're on the line, Sandra, because you're more old school. You're more, I've watched how you interact with your grandkids, with your, you know, you have a daughter that's also in community college, and you have another daughter that you said that were basically, you know, some have done a special educational program, and how people have certain talents. They have certain abilities, and a lot of times, like you say, we dummy down because we don't want nobody laughing at us, teasing us. People thought I was a bookworm. I was far from a bookworm. I didn't want to read. I didn't want to study. I think I spent more time ditching than I did anything else. And it's sad because as soon as my friends would say, Jeanette, and I was in middle school. And I mean, we had a principal, like I said, he was very strict, very stern. But my friend could say, Jeanette, my daddy got a bologna and cheese. I would ditch school just to go eat bologna and cheese sandwiches or a coffee cake. And I still made straight A's, but I was bored. I was not mentally stimulated. I was dealing with the pressures of being at home with my mother making me make these grades. I would procrastinate, and I just wasn't stimulated. Then sometimes, like I told my mother told me one time, you know what, Jeanette, you think you're smarter than those teachers. Those teachers get paid, and they don't get paid whether you're there or not. Because that's what took me out of the Compton Unified School District. I told my mother, I'm not going back. My mother told me, I don't care where you go, but you ain't not staying here. You go somewhere. So I literally had my auntie check me out of one school and try to enroll me into another school because I needed more. Because of what you're saying, Sandra, is why I believe a lot of individuals, when they go to college, they're not ready. A lot of times when they graduate high school, they don't know what they're going to do. They have no social skills. They have no idea what even field they want to go into. So even as a therapist, I have to do personality inventory tests. I have to do vocational assessment tests to try to see where they sit in regard to their likes and their dislikes. Now, I want the student to say something in regards to that. What do you think about that? What's happening, or what do you think that either parents or teachers can do better to help you guys in regards to helping you wanting to excel in regards to developing excellence?
Well, I definitely feel like whenever I think about school, I don't think about learning at all. I think about, okay, I need to stress about this, 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 and this just to get a C in the class so I don't have to retake it and I could just move on. I will cram everything into my brain for a test the night before and then put it on the paper as soon as I get the test so then I don't even have to think about it anymore. It's not even about learning anymore at all.
Wow.
And so
you say it's not about school anymore, what is it about? What is going on? Because one of the things that's interesting you said is not about school anymore. And then I thought, do they go to school to socialize? Do they go to school just to say who got the best car or to gossip or the boyfriends or the clique? Because I'm in several different areas. And I know in the city of Oceanside, the school that my kids went to and my daughter, she graduated from El Camino High School in Oceanside, California. When I interact with kids now, a person told me that there are 3,000 students at that school. And that was a school at one point that was striving towards excellence. They had a lot of kids that were going to college. They were doing very well. Academically was one of the things that they strived for. And Oceanside High School basically had a lot of athletes. But with 3,000 students, that's a lot of kids on one campus.
Mm-hmm.
So what about your school? Is it pretty big, pretty small? Why do you think that it's that most kids are not really focused on or their perception of why do we go to school?
Well, it's not that big. I have no idea what size it actually is, but I know there's bigger schools in my town. So we're not that big. But pretty much the mindset for everybody is just like, I'm here because of the law. I'm here.
Wow.
I know a lot of people that would much rather go, because I have a movie theater and Target and a whole bunch of eateries and stuff like that, like right below where my school is. You can walk there. They're like, I would just much rather just walk a couple blocks and just go work.
Like, I'm glad to go to school in your area. I would never be in school. I'd be at the restaurant eating.
I know.
Got me in trouble.
Oh. Honestly. I think about it every single time I drive to school. I'm like, oh, should I stop by Starbucks or and be late or every. But
wow.
It's more about I'm here because I have to, and it may not even be just because I'm here because of the law, but it's I'm here because my parents make me, or that's what is socially expected of me. Like, it's not a lot of – I know a couple of people that are there. They do their work. They try to learn, and they do everything that they can because they see the bigger picture. But – let's face it, teenagers, we don't think about, okay, well, 30 years down the road, I'm doing this, and so I got to do this, and this to get this. We're thinking about, hey, Friday's coming up in 3 days. I wonder what party we're going to go to. Like,
wow.
It's
wow.
Just, how
is it? There's no joy in learning? I mean,
there is.
I'm hearing background. We might gotta,
for the most part.
Okay. And, you know, I have some information, and it talks about in regards to just the disturbing number of gifted students that dumb themselves down, like you say, to fit in the school, to socialize, and things of that nature. And they indicate that there are about 85,000 gifted students in any particular area. And 10% of the population who have a natural ability in areas such as diverse as language, leadership, science, and including sports. But researchers found successful ways of meeting the needs of gifted students include early entry to primary school, early entry to university, sometimes skipping years, because I remember there was times that they went to my mother and told my mother they wanted to skip me from the fourth grade to the sixth grade. And then when I was in high school, they wanted to skip me. So I would have actually graduated 2 years sooner than I need be. And it was interesting because I still graduated high school or finished school early. When most students had to finish their second semester, by January, I was already done with high school.
Okay.
So I finished early because I had enough credit to where I didn't have to go to school the second semester. And when I was going to school partly half of the first semester, I think I only had like 2 classes a day. So I know that I had really nothing to do. Now, one of the things is they are coming up with evidence to suggest that some educators may be highly resistant to interventions that have been proven effective, particularly early entry to primary schools and what they call year-level acceleration. Now, it is said that basically in regards to how schools are made up and how schools are designed, because they have certain schools. They have schools that are charter schools. They have schools that are the traditional traditional schools. They have a lot of kids that have the ability where they're in high school to go to the colleges in order to get credit. And I wish I had Dr. Lisa Romaine on the line because she's also an educator at one of the community colleges. And one of the things that she said is for every high school student that attends a community college, they're able to get college credits and high school credits at the same time. Because, you know, we've seen shows like, Malik, do you remember that show where the young kid was a doctor, and I think he was like 14 or 15, something like that, Dougie Hauser?
Doogie Howser.
So he was one that was very, 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 very smart, and he was a doctor. You know, and then we've had other shows where kids were borderline geniuses, and now we got these shows. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? And I'd be like, no, I am not smarter than a fifth grader, because some of those questions that they have on that show, I'd be like, wow, there's no way I would know that. But then why is it that when you look at kids that are very smart, why do they have a certain look? Why do they even not only just dummy down, why do they portray that image? What is that all about?
Peer pressure.
You think peer pressure? You know, Malik, and I'm going to throw you under the bus, too. We used to teach, I can say we personally because I was older than you, but when you was in the community, I don't think you was treated fairly either because of we weren't always nice. Because,
no,
you know,
no.
People,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, I see that as, you know, the hood urban experience. So, you know, it can get pretty rough. But I would say anything that dealt with my GPA or my study habits, that was never embraced. And I remember at in 11th grade at Compton High School, some of my peers were like, "We're gonna have to this dish party." I'm like, "What?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't come? And you're a nerd." I'm like, "Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just like that?" So I said to myself, mm-hmm. "So in 11th grade, my grades dipped because there was no incentive for my peers to have a good GPA. So if you look at my transcript in my senior year, you'll see that I had like 4 D's and 3 F's because at that point, like, you know what? I want to be a musician, entertainer, hang out with the athletes. I want to be popular. I want to be cool. And right now, I mean, it's like that's still happening. It's just that young people are not embraced by other young people in certain areas to do good in school. But now that I'm an educator, there are some pockets around the country to some neighborhoods where it is very much appreciated, but it's not based on neighborhood. It depends on where you're growing
because
up.
Because, like I said, I remember you growing up. I remember you being a kid. I remember, you know, and, you know, people were like, he's a nerd. You never really hung out with us or did some of the things that we did. And it was interesting because you was one of the smart kids in the neighborhood. And I think you went to school with Boogie, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did for a while. I think we went to Compton High together for a while.
Correct. That's what I thought because I knew I was older than you, but I remember you going to school with my middle sister versus my younger sister. I knew you was in that age bracket. And
I learned from today's conversation, you and I both left Compton Unified for the same reasons because in my junior year, aside from not having peer praise for being smart, there was some Samoan Park Village Crips that came on campus and began shooting in the hallways. So I said to myself, I'm not going to die at Compton High, you know, walking to a classroom that has two computers, only one works. So I said to myself, I'm going to go to Norbonne in Harper City. So you went to Banning to escape, I went to Norbonne to escape. And when I got to Norbonne, I was no longer smart.
I found that out when I went to Banning.
Right, you know, there's levels of everything. And when you're very smart at Compton High, you're so-so at a tougher school. And I mean tougher in academics. The Norbonne in 86, they were known for their academics. They're good at football now, but in 86, they pride themselves on being a top magnet type like school. So going from Compton High with two computers, one work, they put me in a computer class. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. You know, but it's all based on background. So, yeah, the schools make a difference, too.
I have a grandson that's gifted in music, and he graduated from Marietta Mesa this past May. And he was going to college, and he had a lot of choices. And, you know, a lot of his friends, like, man, I'm going in music. And so I'm like, William, if you go into music, because he's very talented and gifted, he said, yeah, Grandma, I'll do that as a sidebar. And I'm like, well, then what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to study engineering. And I'm like, engineering, you stayed in a music program from 5th grade to 12th grade, and now you're going to flip and go into engineering. He said, yeah, because I want to be able to pay my rent, eat, buy me a car, and live. I may be able to do that in music, and I may not, but I'll have a career where I can take care of myself, and then I can do my music as for fun. I have another grandson that's graduating, and I got on him about some things, and I'm like, well, why don't you go do this and the other? He said, because the girls call us nerds, him and his friends. They
I was
going to
go
we're
there.
Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, well, for one, you sure are a dark, handsome-looking nerd. I said, but on the flip side of that, all those people that are calling you nerds, this is how you respond. You tell them, I'll see you in 15 years when I'm your boss, when I own the company, and you come to me for a job. And I said, and nerd on. You know,
you said
and
nerd
sometimes,
on. That's a whole different way to take it. Just nerd on.
Yeah,
and I
tell them, go ahead.
No, I'm going to let you finish.
No, I was just telling him, you know, it's who you want to be that defines you, not who your friends think you should be, because you make decisions based on what you want to do in this life. And I think sometimes the kids need to be reminded of that. Mm-hmm. It's not, the young lady said, as teenagers, we don't think about 20 and 30 years, but teaching kids to set goals and have something to look forward to is necessary.
Right.
And you don't have to take on an adult role, but you should have some idea of where you want to be a year from now, 3 years from now.
But you know what, Sandra? That's part of the problem that I see, is a lot of times they don't know. And then they have a sense of entitlement, and then they're angry with their parents because they're not pushed. And like you said, a lot of times parents are dependent on the school system to educate their kids in all areas, whether it's social, whether it's teaching them how to read and write and how to, and, you know, because the careers, and not only that, it's critical thinking. A lot of times you find a person that is a straight-A student but with no common sense. So, and one of the things, Malik, you and I know is one of the things we learned in Compton was how to survive. We had street smarts. So when we took our book smarts along with our street smarts and our common sense, that made us way more well-rounded in a lot of areas. Like I tell people now, I'm not afraid of nothing I can see. I'm not intimidated by individuals. I can communicate with individuals from all walks of life. Whether you have a PhD, a law degree, or whatever the case may be, I am competent and confident enough to know that I can go toe-to-toe with the best. I was listening to someone, a preacher was preaching last night, and he was seeing how when you are in a conversation with someone, you don't even have to always talk over their head, because sometimes people will do that. Because it's not about being who's the most intelligent. It's about basically not limiting yourself, not dumbing down, being yourself and striving for excellence. And one of the things he said was, you can be in a conversation with someone, and as soon as you say something that they don't understand, or you touch on a button or something, they want to talk about your mama, or they want to get upset or get angry with you because they cannot stay on topic. Sometimes we let our emotions sometimes get the best of us too. And part of that is maturity, because as you're learning and you're not only with the knowledge being power, you're talking about wisdom. You're talking about maturity. A lot of that goes all hand in hand. Now, I want to ask a student, one of the things it talks about is, why do smart girls dumb down for men, our young boys? Because one of the things that we see, we used to always say good girls, smart girls always wind up with the thugs, the bad boys, things of that nature. How sometimes we'll dummy down, or, you know, just because you, even myself, I was a straight A student. I didn't even have a prom date. You know, I had to go and bully folks trying to get them to take me to the prom because people thought, well, maybe she already have a boyfriend to go to the prom. Maybe she, but I was, they always viewed me as being smart, or they felt that they weren't good enough for me. Why is it that the good girls and the smart girls do wind up with the bad boys? Are you still there? I'm calling you the student versus saying your name.
Oh. I was listening for my name, too. I was like, yes. I just feel like maybe it's for, okay, so in, like, magazines and music videos and this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're filling our brains with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you see on those? Drugs and money and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel us as teenagers, we're like, that looks like a good lifestyle to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really know behind that door. So we see that, okay, if I do this and this, then I can get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a lot of it. And I know, at least for me, I'm not popular at school, but I say hi to everybody. I'm just one of those type of people. I say hi to everybody. Everybody says hi to me. That's just how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not go out of my way to stick out. I'm just kind of who I am, and I just kind of naturally blend in.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to stick out. So I feel like when people try and conform themselves to be normal, per se, it's because they don't want to stick out.
Correct.
But, I mean, I go to Mesa, too. I mm-hmm. know that one lady, both her grandsons, I think, go to Mesa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just have one there now, yeah.
Yeah. What's his name, if you don't mind me asking?
Hmm?
What's his name, if you don't mind asking?
Devon.
I think I might know him.
Small world. Small world.
I think I might.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he's who I'm thinking of, he's a good kid.
Okay. But, and you know what? And that's the thing, too. A lot of times we talk about the smart kids. They're not always the bad kids. They're the kids that are there because their parents are telling them, you go to school for a reason. This is your job. Your job is to go to school. Your job
mm-hmm.
is to make good grades. I remember
mm-hmm.
one of the ways we were talking about motivating, because I'm going to go into, because we have like 17 minutes left on the air. And like I said, if you want to call in, you can call in at 516-387-1914 if you want to share in regards to how your children are actually performing, if they're dummying down, if they're feeling like people are calling them geeks, if they are, you know, one of the things is special ed programs, some of the things, if you want to honor some teachers that have basically encouraged and motivated your students or your kids, you know, that's what this topic is about, because one of the things is we have to start preparing ourselves. We talk about the kids that are the new millennium. You know, things are changing. Jobs are changing. You know,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, we didn't know nothing about being an engineer or, you know, I want to be an astronaut. I mean, my nephew went to UCLA, and we were so proud of him. And one of the things he used to say was, I want to move to China. You know, he didn't say, I want to, you know, stay in Oceanside or stay in Temecula
mm-hmm.
area. He said, I want to move to China. Who say that? So a lot of times we need to start empowering them. You know, they used to say, be all that you can be in regards to the military, but we don't focus that much on education. And, I mean, sometimes we may look at it as a setup or look at it, like you said, as a reward. We see people, and getting back to what Malik is doing, is branding and trying to make sure that we reward these kids. You know, I want to go back to just talking like Ben Carson. Before Ben Carson indicated that he wanted to run for president of the United States, many people had the utmost respect for him because of his academic ability. And one of the things they did, they showed a picture of him and his wife. And people were teasing and like, is this going to be our first lady and president? And so he changed his image. You know, he didn't look so homely anymore. But when he was Ben Carson, and it was another guy, not only Cornel West, but, you know, we look at people in regards to academics, and we look at people that have wisdom, and, you know, our Maya Angelou, we get this certain visual of them. They start trying to change what they look like so that people don't stereotype them. You know, I can even say, I remember being in school and I had a natural ability to just be smart. I will never forget my teachers would tell me, Jeanette, you don't have to take the test because we know that you're going to get an A. So we want you to grade the paper. Soon as my teacher turned back or left that room, I gave everybody the answer. And I'm like, you're not going to set me up and have all these kids mad at me because I don't have to take the test. So I would give them the answer. But things just came natural for me. And like I said, I was just bored. Even today, I'd just be bored. So that's why when people say, well, Jeanette, you're so smart, you're so... And I just be like, okay. I'd be like, I'm thinking to myself, you guys just don't know. I tell people, I know what I need to know when I need to know it. If I don't need to know it, I don't want to know it. Because I'm not trying to do it. I have a test that I need to take. I went and took a training back in September. It took me forever to take that doggone test. You know, because I just procrastinate. And that's the same stuff I used to do when I was in school, and I need to stop that. So we need to stop doing a disservice. So I want to talk about 12 top ways to motivate students. And what it indicates is there is one thing we know about kids, college students, high school students, and that is that they have a short attention span and prefer now than later. It's like, give it to me now. I want that immediate gratification. And this is especially true at the beginning of the year. Teachers, more than any district, either school-wide, nationwide, in regards to their program, have the most power to know how to motivate students because they're on the front line. They can influence students in ways that can teach them to actually understand here, now, today, and perhaps tomorrow. So one of the things we have to do in order to motivate students, and not just for students in school, but also the parents can pick up on some of these tips and things that they can do at home. Like I said, my mother, that was wrong for her to give me a whooping for 3 A's and 3 B's because I still had a 3.5 GPA, but still, you know. But praise students in ways big and small. So when you praise them, you're basically letting them know, I acknowledged your hard work, I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm praising what you're doing. One of the ways that one of my mother's boyfriends, and I still say he still owed me some money, was he would give me $33 for every A, and I still never got paid off. So that goes out to him. But praise them big or small, so recognize the work in the class, display good work in classroom, and send positive notes home to parents. So let the parents know. And the parents need to also let the teachers know, you know, Johnny really tried hard on his project. So that way the teacher will know that Johnny did his best. Now, when we talk about expect excellent, we have to set high but realistic expectations. That's one of the things that when we say we want them to be all that they can be, we want them to strive towards excellence, but the expectations have to be realistic. So make sure to voice those expectations and set short-term goals and celebrate when they are achieved. Because then you can see those milestones. You can see that they accomplish certain things. So you're not setting them up, telling them, like my mother used to tell me, well, with an education, you can do whatever you want to do. You can have whatever you want to have. That was so not true. Because as I became educated, I became more of a threat. People became more intimidated by me. They would say, oh, well, she thinks she's white or she speaks well or things of that nature. And then someone would look at me and say, well, we're afraid she might be using Ebonics. So, but by the same token, set realistic expectations. The next thing is spread excitement like a virus. Show your enthusiasm in the subject and use appropriate concrete understanding for an example. So as you appear to be enthusiastic about what your child is doing, that helps the child want to continue to do well. Things of, you know, parents need to basically go to open house. They need to go when their kids are performing or, you know, whatever they're doing. Support your kids. Because when you're motivated, they become motivated. And that's how that excitement spreads like a virus. Also, when you talk about things that, you know, hand over your control. One of the things, if students take ownership of what they do in class and also what they do at home, they have less room to complain. See, sometimes we like to complain about things and say what other people are doing, what other people are not doing, and things of that nature. I always tell kids when they come to me with that, what would you do different? What would you like to see? How do you think we can change the system? Because I'm all about change. If something we're doing is not working, what can we do differently? Because, I mean, we still have some parents are not putting their kids in school. Some parents are intimidated and don't want to because they don't know the information. They're scared to go out and get some help. But don't be scared, because when you're scared, you kind of teach kids to be scared. Relate lessons to students' lives. One of the things is when we relate academic to real-life situations, it makes sense. I believe, and I would encourage everyone to go see that movie with those three women. What's the name of it again, Malik?
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures. Mm-hmm. I let you know, don't yes, it was hidden, but figure this one out. You know, when people go see that movie, it's going to empower a lot of young women to excel academically, because we have a lot of students that are very, very well in math and science, very well.
Wow.
So that's going to empower them. So we also need more movies like that. We need to start putting it out there that, you know, I remember they used to have things that my kid was student of the month, or my kid was a straight A student, and then it went to my kid beat up your honor roll student, or my kid was, you know, they just flipped the script on us. We need to go back again to encouraging and empowering and reward positive things. As we reward them, then they have something to look forward to, but we don't want it to have it to be in a sense of entitlement, meaning I made an A, so you got to do this. No, you made an A for you. This is to help and empower you, because this is something, no matter what a person do or what a person say, they can't take that from you, and that's what makes knowledge so powerful. And in regards to, I'm going to let you kind of finish the show, Malik, in regards to college funds and accounts, because one of the things is a lot of times when you're talking about school, a lot of students do not believe that they're going to have the financial ability to go to college. A lot of parents don't know how to send their kids to school. It is not as complicated as many of us believe it is. Life is a process of elimination, and a lot of times we eliminate ourselves just based on lack of knowledge. If your kid is doing well in school and is striving towards academics and excellence, support them. The money will come. So, Malik, again, tell us about what you're doing. What is it that you need? What are you looking for? So that we can get this off the air, so that we can start branding these kids. Like I said, and I'm going to say his name again, Corey Terrell, who was a 2006 Texas Spelling Bee champion. And if there's more people like that, I would call their name if I knew their name. Oh, there was one, Malik, I don't know if you saw it. There was a kid that just got a scholarship for Harvard. And I saw him on the news, and he's from Compton, too. And the kid was seeing how
the
he
glasses,
used to.
Yes.
Yes. What, tell us that story, because you might know more about it, because I saw it, but I didn't get all the details, and I don't like talking if I don't know what I'm talking about. So.
You know what? You know, I don't have all the details too, but I just saw the story like last week, so I'm not very familiar with it. But he's on social media. I'll get you the name in a second. But in regards to what I'm doing, I am creating jobs and scholarships for these very same students we're talking about. So if you go to my website, you'll see the first four videos are about, you know, most of them about students and some of them about teachers, but every time we sell something, we get to put money aside for a job for a student or money for a scholarship. And now we're also working with a company called Educational Attainment Services, which helps low-income students get to Harvard, get to Yale, come out of high school. So I am partnering with all brands and companies that want to help students excel. And we're going to change that N-word to the MVM word. So instead of being called the N-word a nerd, we're going to say, you know what, we want you to become the MVM. Because we're going to make it a status. We're going to make it a culture. So they won't be alone. So in closing, all the students that come off for Christmas, just have them contact me through my website. So I can say, look, before you go back to campus, I want you to become part of the MVM Nation culture. So when you go back to your campuses, you won't be alone. And regardless of who you go to, you'll always be part of the MVM Nation. And these are people that are going to help you with jobs, scholarships, and support wherever you need it.
Give them your website information.
Website?
I haven't heard you say that.
Oh, okay. Once again, it is www.DMVMNation.com. So that's DMVMNation.com.
DM. V.
M is in Mary, V is in Victory, M is in Mary. So MVM, MVM Nation.
Oh, MVM, okay.
Yeah,
MVM
so it's D.
Nation.
You're right. So the rest of it, the rest of it is D, the MVMNation.com.
Okay, that's some good information. So, student, what do you think about that, to have someone out there that is basically trying to support and empower individuals that in regards to their achievements as far as their accolades in school? What do you think about that? Versus it just being I'm on the weedy box because I'm a swimmer or I'm a great football player. You know, I don't even think, do people still eat their Wheaties? You know, that was one of the commercials way back when. You know, as soon as you became a star athlete, you got to be on the Kellogg box or the Wheaties commercials, and then became Cheerios and the McDonald's commercials, and you know, just things of that nature. So I mean, I really like what you're doing, and if I can help Malik in any way, definitely let me know. I know I got a friend that's working on my webpage and all of that, but I could probably put it on my Center for the Treatment of Addiction or my J.A. Precious webpage. So just to add links and to send people where to go, because a lot of students don't know. A lot of people have no idea. And what I don't want to see is a lot of kids that are gifted, that have the ability to do well and make changes in society, dummy down or feel that, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, or, you know, or because mm-hmm. they're so smart, they wind up on drugs, they wind up with teen pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many obstacles. There's so many different diversions out there that we need to basically start embracing these kids, holding these kids, and let these kids know we love you, we appreciate you. So when we see them going one way because they're bored or don't have something, or they feel that they're bored and don't have nothing to do, so we can reel them back in and say, hey, you know what? You can't be our next president. I bet you when someone told Obama that, Obama probably was like, me, the president? You know, but you never know. You never know. Because if someone would have told me, Jeanette, you're going to own 2 outpatient counseling centers, you're going to be on the radio, I'd be like, yeah, right. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a judge. This was the furthest thing from my mind. But the one thing I'm learning is I'm able to encourage, empower, and support people. And one of the things that I'm doing is trying to help individuals that I grew up with, people in the community, to give them a voice, to give them, you know, if God opened the door for me, I'm trying to help other people get through this door too in regards mm-hmm. to some of the things that they're doing or, you know, they're putting out there. So if you want to connect with me or you want to contact me, if you have any ideas for any shows, you can email me at preciouspredicament@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at the @ JAPRECIOUSP. You can view me on my website at the JAPreciousInc.com or Center for Treatment of Addiction.com. You can also find me on Psychology Today website under Jeanette Abney. And again, like I said, I am a licensed therapist and I work with different types of families and different types of issues. So, in closing, student, what do you want to say to the students before we end? So we got about 60 seconds.
I think that if you just focus, then you're going to be set.
Good.
Just try to know where you came from and know that you don't just learn in school, too.
Correct. And you know what? And that is true. When they said it takes a village – School can't do it all alone. You know, we need the help of parents, we need the help of churches, we need the help of the communities, the neighbors, everybody, because you learn from, you can learn from a lot of people. You can even learn from kids younger than you. And sometimes we close our eyes and close our doors and things of that nature. So we have 2 seconds left. So I basically want to say until next week. Next week we're going to be talking about surviving the Christmas holidays with family, because it's going to be interesting. Until then, see you next week at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
I am okay.